From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippine Islands, Manila, I wish you good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be, under whatever condition you may be existing and listening to this program, the largest program of its type in the world. I bid you good day. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. It's going to be a very, very, very interesting program tonight to update you a little bit. Typhoon Malenyo, which came roaring through the capital city of the Philippines here, Manila, has now killed 76 people here, 76 dead, and that number is climbing. The number of homeless can't be counted. So many roofs blown off. Last night, after the program, many hours after the program, actually, we got power. Thank you, Meralco, the power company here. It was like Christmas when the power came on. And so we're actually back on full power right now. And we're one of the first areas that would regain power. I think a significant percentage of the capital city here is still without power. So many of you have relatives, I know. Here in the Philippines, if you can't get hold of them, it's probably because obviously the lines are down. And I'm getting a lot of emails from people with relatives here. So, you know, lines are down, that kind of thing, trees down over lines and all the rest of it. The odds are pretty good that your relatives are okay, but there are a lot of homeless. There are 76, as I mentioned, dead, so, and a larger number, of course, injured. So that's the story from here in the Philippines and kind of a current update. The webcam photograph up there this evening is from when I was down on the island of Mindanao. And you'll see me crossing a bridge there that everybody told me not to cross for rather obvious reasons, even though it's not a highly detailed picture. You get the idea. And the, you know, below me was a very, I don't know, 100, 150 feet or something. And then there was rocks and a big, well, not a river, a stream, really. So I thought, what the hell, you only live once. I try not to let things scare me. Speaking of that, listen, I would ask that you all take a look at the old Philippine letter. We've got that back up on the website tonight. The hate letter that some idiot wrote using my name is once again circulating around the web, going around the world, around and around and around and around, as it has been doing for years. This is somewhat dangerous to myself and my wife because, of course, now I'm here in the Philippines, and for obvious reasons, with the death threats coming in and that kind of thing, it's very dangerous. And so I would ask that any of you who have relatives who are Filipinos pass on to them that this letter is, always has been, totally baloney, totally bogus. It was sent, according to the FBI, as far as they could trace it, from the University of California at San Diego, the library there, where, of course, at that time, they didn't monitor who came and went. And that's where the trail ended. So we don't know who sent it. And it's just a very dangerous thing to be out there for me right now and to be recirculating. And I'm sure that whoever is circulating is doing so because they know I'm here. So there you have it. Let's take a look briefly around the world. The FBI is examining very closely Foley's email to teenagers. The FBI is examining former Representative Mark Foley's email exchanges with teenagers to try and determine if they violated any federal law. According to an agency spokesman Sunday, House Speaker Dennis Hastert asked Sunday for a federal investigation into the case, a lurid scandal that has put House Republicans in political peril. A new video has surfaced showing the 9/11 hijackers a year, get this, a year before they did what they were going to do, smiling for the camera, as it were, reportedly reading a will and footage taken more than 18 months before they carried out what, of course, was the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil, Muhammad Atta, and another to look very, very different than in the tape they do, of course, later when we saw them, very different at that time. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, coming under renewed fire for his management of the Iraq war, said on Sunday he's not considering resigning, said the president has called him personally in recent days to express his continued support. Now, when you hear this kind of story, Usually, it ends up with somebody resigning. Now, not always, but usually. You know, the president absolutely supports me up until the moment that he doesn't. Eight killed in Hamas fighting in Gaza, heavily armed Hamas militiamen effort to break up anti-government protests on Sunday sparked gun battles across the Gaza Strip. That killed eight people in the worst internal Palestinian violence since Hamas took power. A teen engineering prodigy who gained national attention back in 2002 when his family and he received an identification chip implant on live television was apparently killed in a motorcycle accident. Authorities said Derek Jacobs, 18, lost control of his motorcycle early Saturday, crashed into a guardrail and a pole. The Palm Beach County office said he was indeed wearing a helmet. It was late 1985 when Hugh Hefner walked into the grand opening of Playboy's Empire Club in Manhattan, the latest attempt by the magazine company to freshen its suave, sexy image. A quarter century of success in running such clubs was on the wane, and a new gimmick was thought to be needed to attract a new audience of women, male bunnies. Can you imagine that? Male bunnies. Also, we're looking at a story in which there is purportedly a hint of a connection between the American mob and terrorists. Now, in the old days, the American mob might have done whatever it is the American mob did in those days, but one thing they were was pretty much patriots, right? So it's hard to imagine, or is it hard to imagine? Maybe days have changed, and maybe even a mobster who would, run booze or guns or gambling or whatever the mob did, drugs, I suppose, they were pretty much patriots. I know it's hard to think of them that way, the American mob as patriots, but I think that they were at one time. Now, maybe the mob has changed. In a moment, we'll look at some of the rest of the day's news. Those of you wishing to get on the air with something of interest to the entire audience are more than welcome to begin dialing now if you know or have written down the numbers, and I know many of you have. We will be doing open lines, and then in the next hour, it's going to be a very, very interesting program. Heaven knows it certainly is timely. Roger Tulsis is going to be with us, and he's going to be talking about what I guess, in essence, what we're giving up to fight the war on terror. Now, as many of you know, the president just got warrantless wiretaps approved, and the monitoring of email between people in the U.S. and people elsewhere, as, for example, where I am right here. Also, possibly, you never know about this because, I get these messages on the computer. However, I do have a message from Jeff in Pasco, Washington, which says, ABC just reported that people all over the city of Yakima, Washington, are lighting up the 9/11 system there, reporting that they've seen something flash across the sky. One of the callers is a local police officer. Now, I just read you a message from Jeff in Pasco, Washington, so I have no way of confirming that until I get additional information. However, somebody just sent me another funny one here. Hey, Art, if you'll try and remember to mention that today is the 36th anniversary. My God, has it been that long since the Thrilla in Manila? And it's true. I went to a concert with my wife here in Manila not long ago. Same place, as a matter of fact. I'm going to go see the Bee Gees in November. And they still had the big billboard up there for the Thrilla in Manila from back in the 70s. The hole over Antarctica's ozone layer is now bigger than last year, and is now nearing the record 29 million square kilometer hole seen in 2000. This is all according to the World Meteorological Organization on Friday. Geir Bruthen, the United Nations weather fellow, top ozone expert, that is to say, said ozone depletion had a late onset this year in the southern hemisphere. When low temperatures normally trigger chemical reactions that break down the atmospheric layer that filters dangerous solar radiation, the ozone depletion started quite late, but when it began, it did so very rapidly. It, the hole, has now risen to a level that is past last year's and is very close to, if not equal to, the ozone hole the size of 2003 and also approaching the size of 2000, he said. The Antarctic ozone hole was at its largest or second largest in 2003, biggest in 2000. While the use of ozone-depleting CFCs has now waned, they say that large amounts of chlorine and bromine remain in the atmosphere and would keep causing large reductions in the Antarctic ozone layer for many, many years yet to come. Now, when do we think the ozone might repair itself? They're saying now that might be delayed until the year 2065. Speaking of holes, not in the ozone, but here in Mother Earth, this is a fascinating story. And I don't know if you're fascinated as I am by holes in the ground. I don't even know why I'm fascinated by holes. Yes, I do. It's because we don't have any idea what's deep down in the bowels of the earth, do we? Today, the deepest hole ever created by humankind lies beneath the tower enclosing Kola's Drill. A number of boreholes split from the central branch, but the deepest is designated SG-3, a hole about 9 inches wide, which, get this, snakes over 12.262 kilometers or 7.5 miles down into the Earth's crust. The drill spent 24 years chewing its way into the Earth until its progress was finally halted in 1994, about 2.7 kilometers or 1.7 miles short of its 15,000-meter goal. To the surprise of the researchers, they did not find the expected transition, the moho, from granite to basalt at 3 to 6 kilometers beneath the surface. Data had long shown that seismic waves travel significantly faster below that depth, and geologists had believed that this was all due to a basement of basalt. Instead, the difference was discovered to be a change in the rock, get this, brought on by intense heat pressure or metamorphic rock. Even more surprising, this deep rock was found to be saturated in water, which filled the cracks. Because free water should not be found at those depths, scientists theorize that the water is comprised of hydrogen and oxygen atoms, which were squeezed out of the surrounding rocks due to the incredible pressure. The water was then prevented from rising to the surface because of the layer of impenetrable rocks above it. Another unexpected find was a menagerie of microscopic fossils as deep as 6.7 kilometers below the surface. Wow. 24 distinct species of plankton microfossils were found, and they were discovered to have carbon and nitrogen coverings rather than the typical limestone or silica. Despite the harsh environment of heat and pressure, the microscopic remains were remarkably intact. Now, what that means, for example, I saw a recent, I think it was it NOVA or Discovery? Anyway, they showed that if a large rock were to hit our planet, enveloping the planet ultimately in a fiery disaster that would kill even microbes, life would once again one day emerge from far underground. The Russian researchers were also surprised at how quickly the temperatures rose as the borehole deepened, which is the factor that ultimately halted the project's progress. Despite the scientists' efforts to combat the heat by refrigerating the drilling mud before they pumped it down, at 12 kilometers, the drill began to approach its maximum heat tolerance. At that level of heat and pressure, the rocks began to act more like a plastic than a solid. and the hole had a tendency to flow closed whenever the drill bit was pulled out for a replacement. Forward progress became impossible without some sort of technological breakthrough and major renovations of the equipment on hand, so drilling stopped on the SG-3 branch. If the hole had reached the initial goal of 15,000 meters, temperatures would have reached a projected 572 degrees Fahrenheit. When drilling stopped in 1994, the hole was over 7 miles deep, 12,262 meters, making it by far the deepest hole ever drilled by mankind. The last of the cores to be plucked from the borehole were dated to be about 2.7 billion years old, or about 32 million times older than Abe Vigoda. Even at that depth, the Kola Project only penetrated into a fraction of the Earth's continental crust, which ranges from 20 to 80 kilometers thick. That's an amazing story, and I don't know why. Again, I've always been fascinated by all sorts of holes, Mel's Hole and various others that we've heard. There are others, by the way. China has fired high-power lasers at U.S. spy satellites flying over its territory in what experts see as a test of Chinese ability to blind the spacecraft, according to sources. Doesn't say what sources. It remains unclear how many times the ground-based laser was tested against U.S. spacecraft or whether it was successful. We would never say, I'm sure. But the combination of China's efforts and advances in Russian satellite jamming capabilities illustrate vulnerabilities to the U.S. space network and are at the core of U.S. Air Force plans to develop new space architectures and highly classified systems, again, according to unnamed sources. According to experts, lasers, depending on the power level, could blind electro-optical satellites like the giant Keyhole spacecraft or even interfere with radar satellites like the LaCrosse. Blinding, one source said, is different than disabling, given the enormous power required to shoot a laser through the dense lower atmosphere and reach a fast-moving satellite in space. I don't see what the difference is. If you can blind it, you can stop it from doing what it ought to be doing, which is a reconnaissance of whatever you want to see on the ground. Now, I guess we're getting ready to make a black hole. The world's most powerful atomic particle accelerator is indeed going to begin functioning around 6 months from right now. It's capable of creating a black hole every second. That's a black hole every second. Since black holes suck up things like planets, is it dangerous? Scientists reassure us it's not, but then, of course, they've recently steered us wrong about other dangers as well. This comes, by the way, from Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country. The Large Hadron Collider is now under construction in an underground circular tunnel that is 17 miles long in the world's largest physics lab, CERN, near Geneva, Switzerland. Black holes can't be seen, but astronomers can tell they do exist because of what they do. Things like, well, they have gravity so strong they suck in everything about them. Not even light can escape, which is how they got their name, black holes. They form in nature when a dead star collapses. In LiveScience.com, Charles Choi quotes physicist Greg Landsberg as saying that the danger is, quoting here, totally minuscule, end quote. Since the danger is not zero, why take the risk? Landsberg says if the Large Hadron Collider does create black holes, it will prove that extra dimensions of the universe exist. That's not trivial. The radiation that decaying black holes emit could yield clues that help finally unite all the current ideas about the forces of nature under the theory of everything, which is something that quantum physicists have been searching for a very long, long time. So if it was you, if you were in charge of this project at CERN, and you were on the verge of pushing a button that would create the very first black hole with the albeit very tiny possibility that our entire planet would just blink out like that. It's a very small possibility, of course, very small. But nevertheless, it is a possibility. Would you order the button to be pushed? Or would you, well, what would you do? I've thought this one over. Now, it's not a trivial answer they're searching for. It's the theory of everything, whether other universes actually exist, whether we could get a glimpse into another universe, whether we could even prove another universe exists. We might get that answer. We might get the question, the equation that I think we've been told might not be any larger than your thumb that would reveal the theory of everything. There it is. A little red button sitting right in front of you. Well, I suppose in this case, it should be a little black button, right? It would create the first black hole. And your finger has the ability to press that button and make the first black hole. Now, remember, the planet could go poof. Or we could get great new knowledge. What would your finger do? From Manila in the Philippines, I'm Art Bell. Anne in North Hollywood, California says, hey, Art, the FAA claims there was a meteor seen over Yakima, Washington, so maybe that was it, a meteor. Several people reported seeing a meteor streak through the sky Sunday night over Yakima. Federal Aviation Administration spokesman Mike O'Connor said he received about 8 calls about the thing, so I've always wondered about this, and I wonder now about it, too. It's not that I doubt what FAA spokesperson Mike O'Connor said, but, I mean, really, how does he know it was a meteor? Yeah, it came streaking across the sky, but unless you found the sizzling rock on the ground, you would have no way of knowing it was a meteor, right? Could be anything. Could be a spaceship entering the atmosphere, streaking to Earth with its horrible contents of some sort. But no, they say it's a meteor. Well, all right, as advertised, let us do some open lines. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Yes. My name's Chris. I'm calling you from Reno. About that asteroid thing you were just saying, really quick, I actually saw one a long time ago, and it came in. I thought it was a shooting star, and it stopped and then took off towards San Francisco Airport at the same speed as a shooting star. I knew it wasn't real.
Very, very suspicious.
Yeah, nevertheless, your screener told me to be very quick with this, so I'll just set the scene really quick. When I was younger, and I remember this like it was yesterday, I had an out-of-body experience. And interestingly enough, I was sick. And when I would get sick, I'd lay next to my mom's bed, my mom and dad's bed. Well, my mom at the time was a practicing RN, and my father is still a practicing neurosurgeon. So I was pretty lucky, but I ran to the bathroom to throw up, and apparently I asphyxiated and on my vomit, and it stopped my heart. So my mom, I remember floating out of my body, pointing at the body, my body on the ground, laughing at it. And then
laughing?
Yeah, I was laughing at it hysterically. And then my mom came in and started resuscitating.
Wait.
Yeah.
What did you find humorous about the situation?
I got to tell you, it was almost as though I couldn't figure that out, why I was pointing at my body, laughing at it. However, the feeling was no feeling of fear or anxiety, or it was a wonderful feeling. I must admit to you. And then, you know what you look like, but you're really not looking at yourself right now? I was looking at myself, watching myself, laughing at the body on the ground. Anyway,
how humorous, yeah. I am choking on my own vomit.
Yeah, it was really scary. And then, well, I guess now it is, but my dad came rushing in because my mother was yelling for him because she couldn't revive me, and threw off and then started pounding on my chest and doing all this stuff, and the next thing I know, I was like third person, back into first person, laughing at the body on the ground, and then laying back down into my body and waking up. Well, the irony about the whole thing is the next morning, I started telling my mom, hey, why were you pounding on my chest? And she goes, what do you mean pounding on your chest? How do you know how I revived you? I said, I heard the whole thing and saw Dad and everything run in. And my dad just, you know, he was in his scrubs at the time, and he just got up out of bed, and he didn't want to hear it, you know. Off to the hospital he went. But see, because I was dead to the world to them, you know. But I saw him do the whole thing, you know. It was just very fascinating. And
all right, well, that's absolutely a typical, you know, NDE. I mean, there you are out of your body. Now, that reaction, though, that humorous reaction, laughing at your own body, choking on its own vomit on the floor, I don't know about that part. But who knows? Maybe the other side has a sort of a different sense of humor. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, Art, I've got one for you. Have you ever had a call about a haunted restroom?
A haunted restroom?
Yeah.
No, I can honestly say I don't believe so.
Okay. This happened to myself and my new bride on Christmas Day of 2003. And neither of us really realized what was happening until we compared notes a few minutes later. We were out on a tour out on the island of Corregidor, just a short distance from you there.
Took that very same tour, yes.
Okay. Then we were on the Jeep, little tour shuttle they have there, and we toured the area that I guess they call Battery Row.
That's right.
Right, and there's a little public restroom there. Okay. And basically what happened is, you know, we had a nice time on the tour there, and everybody loaded onto the Jeep, and, you know, the call of nature came to me, and I had to go then. So I went into this place and took care of my business, and just before I went out, this loud booming voice came out, so loud that it kind of echoed in that inside of that place.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very low, commanding voice, just said, out of here.
Out of here? Well, hey, I'd have no problem obeying that command instantly.
Yeah,
I would be so out of there.
But,
absolutely. Corregidor, as you well know, sir, is a terribly haunted place. I was there, and I could
station there. Yeah.
Yeah, I could feel it all around me. Corregidor is astounding. So, if any of you ever get to Southeast Asia and you have the opportunity to visit Corregidor, it's something you don't want to miss. I mean, it truly is an extremely haunted, extremely unusual. What are the right words? Words are always hard to come by. But at any rate, a very difficult place to tolerate in a lot of ways, because you know what went on there. It's being explained to you, and you're seeing it with your own eyes. And you can just feel it. There's really no power on the island of Corregidor, but all that went on there is still in some way happening. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Good morning, Art. This is Jim. I'm calling from KCMO in Kansas City, Missouri.
Of course. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again, sir. Hope everything's going well for you in the Philippines. It sounds like it is. Anyway, I had a couple of quick things to pass along to you. You know, you've had guests on your program in the past. They've talked about rods.
Oh, yes?
Yes. I want you to know that from time to time, I do honestly believe that I see those things. You know, they're not really doing much of anything. They're just kind of darting past. I mean, it doesn't matter. They can either go up or sideways or, you know, in any of the three dimensions of space, but there's just no real pattern. I mean, sometimes they'll move kind of slowly, and I might catch them out of the corner of my eye or something like that, and then at other times they move rather quickly, and I don't know how I would even begin to explain it to anybody that I know, but I honestly believe that they do exist.
All right. I do too, Jim. And I think they're in the same category with what we call shadow people, things that you kind of see in your peripheral vision. Things
little
that
translucent type things, you know.
That's right.
Kind of dark.
And, no, that's exactly right, Jim. And I think it fits right in with shadow people.
And real quickly, the second thing I wanted to share with you is that I know you've had Major Ed Dames on your program many, many times. And he said something here not all that long ago in one of his remote viewing things that he did. He said that something to the effect of that the shuttle astronauts would be delayed maybe a 2 or 3 days by NASA because there was debris or some kind of thing like that that would prevent them from landing. Are you familiar with that prediction?
I recall a comment I think he made about a meteor shower, wasn't it?
Well, I think the way it was, and maybe somebody can clarify, but anyway, it sounds to me like what he said was is that we would have a big burst from the sun shortly after that.
That's right. No, that is exactly right. And it was either debris or a meteor shower, something like that. And of course, we recently did have a shuttle delay. But I think he was referring to an earlier shuttle mission. Absolutely was. Although we all know that with remote viewing, getting the timing of an event exactly right is the most difficult part of that job. So interesting observation indeed. Going to Mike in Ontario, Canada. Hi, Mike.
Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is a really great opportunity to speak with you. Right?
Glad to have you. What's up?
Yeah, Art, you know what? I understand you're at the level of, I should say, caliber of understanding and awareness that you're at. And sometimes you almost seem like you get bored with the same old, and connecting everything is a real tricky thing to do. But as far as what you mentioned earlier about holes, pretty
many
well.
Many things, sir, many things, but not bored. I can assure you, not bored.
I know everybody's
This is the most interesting subject material on the face of the globe. You know, while every other radio program in the world is doing the same old stuff, I'll call it stuff.
I know.
We're talking about things that that nobody else does. So many things, perhaps, but never, I can assure you, bored.
So what you're saying is it's on the edge.
The material we cover is on the edge and sometimes plumb over the edge.
Right. And you really appreciate different levels of understanding and awareness.
Well, I'll tell you what. While a lot of the things that we say, at the time we say them, seem nutty as a fruitcake, I cannot count the number of times that 6 months or a year later, the mainstream press is reporting what we reported and people laughed at earlier.
Exactly. And this is helping people to become more awake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And most of mainstream is not awake to the degree that it would be nice, but it almost seems like it's taking too long.
Well, when you're out ahead of the curve, more times than not, it does seem like the rest of the world is just dragging along. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm just waiting, just like you are. But as far as the whole situation, I can appreciate that as well. What I've heard about the ozone layer is that it's repairing itself. And I would be inclined to believe that given the complexity of the ecosystem of the planet, which almost makes it seem like it's alive. You could call it Gaia, Mother Earth, whatever. But it's repairing itself. And if we surpass that with our smoke and our pollutants, and you could overdo it and overtake it. But the whole situation in Area 51, all I've heard about that is there's a hole so deep in the ground, it's about 2 kilometers, where if one of these singularity experiments or these black hole experiments that you were speaking of gets out of control,
That's in CERN, Switzerland, actually, where they're going to do that. And I don't know anything about a hole at Area 51, although I'm sure there are things beneath the ground there. And once again, I can assure you, beyond any shadow of any doubt, that whatever it is we do here is many things, but boring is definitely not one of them. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. My name is Jeff, and I'm listening on KTRS in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
I have a comment about your guest that's going to be talking about the Homeland Security bills, the wiretapping and all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
If I recall, there were certain civil liberties restrictions placed on Americans during the Second World War, weren't there?
Yes, there were, and a lot of people, a lot of people, sir, forget that that happened. In fact, very restrictive things were done during the Second World War, but after the war, they were repaired. In fact, even enhanced.
Now, this is a different type of war, of course, but if they were able to return the civil liberties after the Second World War, we should probably give them the benefit of the doubt that they would return the civil liberties after this war.
Well, I tend to agree with you, certainly, but as far as giving the government the benefit of the doubt, I hesitate on that one. Yeah, yeah. Keep your eyes open. That's right. Never, what is it President Reagan said? Trust but verify. And with respect to our own government, always, always keep your eye on them. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi. Yes.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I'm calling from Orange, California. And I have listened to you ever, I mean, for years, back when my husband had hair. Okay?
God. No, I've never heard it put that way. Okay.
And back when I was lean. Many times, more than once, I've had to turn off the radio because you had somebody on talking about witchcraft or demonology. And I mean, I was frightened to the point where I just didn't even want it coming on the radio, so I turned it off. I was wondering, was there anybody that ever scared you to the point where you said, I got to end this interview, or you said a prayer, or you just said, you know, wow, you were really, truly frightened. I can listen forever
yes.
about UFOs and about shadow government, but
yes,
there is
the answer is yes.
Okay.
And the answer is that there was a young lady who called in. I don't know whether you happened to hear that program or not, but she was a Luciferian. She believed in the devil, and she believed that she was going to take her son to hell with her, and she described exactly what she intended to do. And that one scared me past the point of wanting to continue with it, but I nevertheless did continue with it. So, you know, I don't know if we have a copy of that. We should replay that someday. Since you asked the question, that would be my answer. There were a lot of shows that have scared me because of the material that we've done, but that one went way over the edge for even me. Back to the first time caller line and Pam in Alaska. Hey, Pam.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, the other night I was listening when George was talking about Steve Irwin.
Yes.
And a crocodile hunter. And somebody had mentioned that he always felt he would die early in an automobile accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just thinking about that. And wasn't the Corvette also called the Stingray at one time? The Corvette automobile? Because it was low to the ground?
I think that might be correct.
That's kind of
an interesting metaphor. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I just thought of that because sometimes you get messages from the unconscious, but it's not always the literal sense of something, you know. So
I
thought that was kind of interesting to talk about.
It is interesting. Thank you very much. It's fascinating. I don't know. Was it called the Stingray? I think there is a possibility that it's so. Was the Corvette called a Stingray? He thought he would die early in an automobile accident. Somebody will confirm that for us. That is an interesting observation. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, this is Charlie in Austin, Texas, listening on FM.
Yes, Charlie.
You were posing the scenario where we would create an artificial black hole at, I believe it was a CERN lab.
That's right.
And then you suggested whether or not, or asked whether anyone, whether someone should push the button or not. I think I would push the button.
You would.
The potential reward, the knowledge you suggested that the human species might gain.
That's right.
I think it might be worth it because that would justify our existence.
Well, one good thing about making that decision, Charlie, would be that if you were wrong, you wouldn't have to apologize.
Right. We would just flip out of existence.
Exactly.
There's, you know, the universe, I believe, is infinite, and since we're such a small part of it, there have to be easily a species which would replace us. So the universe would not miss us.
Well, that may well be true. Interesting take on it all. And really, yes, you wouldn't have to apologize if we just blinked out of existence. Why, there'd be nobody shoving microphones and cameras in your face trying to get an apology because they'd all be gone. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I just heard a caller call in about the whole wiretap thing. And just to go along with that, a couple months ago, the military passed a bill to be putting, you know, like how the pet, you can put chips in pets. They're going to be putting them in soldiers so they can keep track of soldiers, which I think is the government's lame attempt at starting to put biochips in everyone so they can keep track of people.
And so, Pete, if they came to you and said, Pete, it's your time. We've got your chip right here. Lay down for a moment. We'll get it in there. It'll be painless. What would you say?
I'd say...
Remember, you're on the radio here now, Pete.
You know, I decline and would rather take my own life than be monitored in that respect. I mean, it's...
You would rather take your own life?
Oh, yes, by far. It's one of those things where the government, you know, is trying to keep track of people. Well, you don't need to keep track of people. It's, you know...
All right, listen, Pete, I got to go. The hour is over, but that's exactly what we'll be talking about when we get back. This is Coast to Coast AM.